Screen Talk.
Our entertainment guru, Anna Corday, is with us for our weekly dose of Screen Talk. Happy New Year to you, Anna.
Happy New Year to you as well, Deb.
We're well into the big Hollywood awards season. It started last week with the Golden Globes. Now, Aussie Cate Blanchett, she did well picking up the gong for the movie Tar, which is getting plenty of Oscar buzz. But the awards hangover, Anna, still lingering for the stars like Jamie Lee Curtis, and not from the champagne.
No, a few very big stars at the Golden Globes picked up COVID, which, to be honest, it was bound to happen. I'm not that surprised. We know that these events can be super spreaders, and despite any kind of safety precautions that they might have had in place, although apparently the award season has been a little bit all over the shop with different restrictions in place. But the Critics' Choice Awards required a negative RAT result, and that event happened this week, and it sounds like that's what happened and how quite a few of these big actors found out that they had COVID. So it was Banshees of Inisherin stars Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson both caught it at the Globes, along with, as you mentioned, Jamie Lee Curtis and Michelle Pfeiffer. No doubt countless others. They're just the ones that have publicly admitted to catching it. It was a bit of a blow for Jamie Lee Curtis, though. I mean, her film Everything Everywhere All at Once picked up 5 awards at the Critics' Choice Awards, including Best Pictures. So I know she was pretty devastated to have missed out, as well as Michelle Pfeiffer, who was pretty upset that she didn't get to present her The Fabulous Baker Boys co-star Jeff Bridges with the Lifetime Achievement Award, which was presented in the end by John Goodman. But look, not the best time to get sick. At least it was the Critics' Choice Awards, not something like the Oscars that they had to miss out on because they had COVID. But hopefully this is a bit of a warning at the very start of award season that, you know, people tread a little bit more carefully and maybe stop the schmooze too much.
Yeah, well, at the next one. Well, they love to schmooze, we know that. And I did love Jamie Lee Curtis's reaction to her co-star winning. It's become a Michelle Yeoh, it's become a meme. T-shirts, which Jamie Lee Curtis herself was wearing. It's like part of the sisterhood people are claiming, but it was just a great reaction. She was very,
it really
happy
was.
For
it
her.
Was such a good movie as well. Yeah. So very well-deserved wins there.
Now, fans of the hit series Only Murders in the Building are pretty excited because Steve Martin has confirmed that the filming for season 3 is underway, and they've brought in some big names for this ride.
This is the best news I've ever heard so far this year. It's huge news. So we did know that Paul Rudd was going to be part of season 3 because he was revealed at the end of season 2. But now Queen Meryl Streep, is going to be part of season 3 as well. It is so exciting. So the cast announced these new additions with Meryl Streep and Paul Rudd in a video on Instagram the other day from set. So Selena Gomez, she was joined by Martin Short and Steve Martin, her co-leads for the series. She pans the camera to Paul, unsurprising addition there, and then pans the camera to Meryl Streep, who, you know, it was a really funny video. And to say I squealed with excitement is an understatement. But we don't really know that much about what's going to happen for season 3. We know that Paul's character, if you have watched season 2, he's the one that we're investigating the murder of. He's playing a character called Ben Glenn. But Meryl, we don't know if she's playing herself, if she's playing a character, because obviously in both seasons, season 1 and season 2, we had high-profile guest stars like Sting and Amy Schumer playing heightened versions of themselves. So we don't know if that's what Meryl will be doing, but we do know it's obviously going to be a cracking season, and we don't have a release date, but I will absolutely be across every single update for this season.
A lot of people,
I'm so excited.
Huge fans of myself included. And what a turnaround that, you know, these are big-time movie stars who, you know, there was a time not too long ago where you would only see them in films, in movies, but now they're all over the TV shows and the streaming services. It's quite a changed landscape for the big names.
It definitely is.
That is for
sure. It's exciting, though.
Now, what are we watching on the big and the small screen? I know Babylon is getting a lot of publicity here because we've had the stars Margot Robbie and Phoebe Tonkin in the country pushing the show, and she's been here, there and everywhere promoting it. A lot of pretty bad reviews about Babylon, though. People saying it was a total dud.
Yeah, I'm quite conflicted on the film. I've got a lot of feelings about it, and good feelings and bad feelings. So let's start with the runtime first. That's my biggest gripe, because I don't know what the obsession is with making these obscenely
long
movies. It is 3 hours and 9 minutes
long. What? 3 hours and 9 minutes?
Excessive. Yes.
Too much. They have editors here. Employ them. Get them to do their job.
I know, it's just completely excessive. And that's the downfall of the film, I think, because there is so much in the film in those 3 hours and 9 minutes that it's too much. You know, if they'd cut a couple of storylines and reduced it to 2.5 hours, it would have been a perfect film in my eyes. I mean, to set the scene, we're in the golden age of Hollywood. It's the period of time when stars and film studios are making that transition from the silent era to the talkies. And, you know, the film is this, you know, unflinching love letter to that time and to Hollywood. It showcases the good and bad, of which there was plenty on both sides of that. But each storyline is really strong. You know, Margot is playing this film star who becomes the it girl, and she's got, you know, drug problems and issues with men. And you've got Diego Calva, who's the technically the co-lead, and he plays this guy called Manny, and he's struggling to be noticed in the industry and things like that. And you've got Brad Pitt in there, who plays, you know, your fading star of the screen. And then they're not the only storylines. There are so many other ones in there. And
so
I just
confusing,
think,
too long, and not really
and
hitting the mark.
And once the novelty of it all kind of wore off, you kind of just, you're stuck with it and you've got to keep going. And it's just, it's too long. I mean, it comes from Damien Chazelle. He's a Best Picture winner for Oscars with his movie La La Land, which was brilliant. But I just feel like maybe if he'd spent a little bit more time finessing the script, cutting out a couple of pointless lines, cutting down that runtime. I mean, it is kind of the issue that we're seeing in films like Amsterdam with Margot Robbie last year as well. Too many actors in it, too many stars.
Yeah, I saw that on the plane coming back from New Zealand. Didn't rate it. Thought it was just a bit of a dud. Even though I thought huge name actors involved in Amsterdam, but yeah, just didn't hit the mark.
This is my thing. I think if there are so many names in it, they all want it to be their movie. And I feel like that's the same issue that we've got with Babylon. You know, we've got Margot, we've got Diego, we've got Brad Pitt, we've got Jean Smart, we've got so many other really talented actors, like Tobey Maguire's in there as well. They all want to make it their movie and make it a really memorable role because they are actors and they're known for that. But it sort of came at the detriment to the film that everything had to then stay in the movie. Nothing could get cut out. So I am conflicted because I don't think it's worth seeing because of the issues with how long it is, but then it is visually stunning. Margot Robbie gives a phenomenal performance. Obviously, you know, it's great because she's being nominated for awards already for it, but maybe they just needed to add an intermission break like the old days, you know. You just need a little break to clear
your
mind.
A toilet break. You'd need one after 3 hours and 9 minutes. Take a pack lunch.
Go to the loo, grab another snack. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's my issue with it. It just needs a little break.
Okay, maybe just go to the toot before you see Babylon. Now, on the streaming services, a couple to look at. The first one, The Last of Us, which is on Binge. What's this one about?
Well, this one comes from HBO, and we know HBO churn out the best shows. You know, they're behind Game of Thrones and The White Lotus, and The Last of Us absolutely is up there in those best shows category. It is incredible. It's a video game adaptation. I don't really play video games, so I had no idea that it was a video game, but it is one of the best-selling video games apparently in the world. So it's a post-apocalyptic drama set in a zombie-infested United States. But
I'm
they're not
going to see that.
Well, okay, this is my thing. It's a really brilliant drama. It is scary, but then also they're not zombies, because you've probably heard about that fungus that takes over tarantulas and bugs and stuff and controls their bodies. Well, that's what has happened in this. It's mutated and it can now take over human bodies.
Oh,
and I know it sounds awful and I had to look away from the screen a few times, but it's the drama that it's at the center of this that's so good. So Pedro Pascal, people will know him as the Mandalorian from the Star Wars series. He plays this guy called Joel. He meets this teenager named Ellie and he's got to transport her across this zombie fungus infested United States and keep her safe. And while it is scary, it's this beautiful story of survival and humanity and relationships of every kind that's at its core. That's what you're watching it for. You're not watching it for the scary stuff, in my opinion.
Okay.
And Nick Offerman and Murray Bartlett are also in it, and they've got a really beautiful storyline. So it's on Binge. I recommend watching it. I can't believe I'm saying that because it is scary, but it is a beautiful drama.
Yeah, I think I might instead see Transfusion, which is on Stan, and not just because I'm going to be chatting to Matt Nable, who is the director behind it all. It stars Sam Worthington, but this looks fantastic.
This one is. It's a really good, really strong Australian movie. So, you know, Sam's obviously fresh from the huge success of Avatar 2. I think it's nearing $2 billion, which is almost $3 billion Australian dollars. So this one is called Transfusion, as you mentioned. Sam stars as this guy called Ryan. He's a former special forces operative. His wife dies suddenly and he's left struggling to cope with with that loss, but also with his PTSD from war. He's also trying to raise his only son, and he sort of eventually falls into this criminal underworld to try to stay afloat and, you know, keep his son in his custody. And it's, yeah, it is. It's a really, really good movie. It's not a light watch, though. You know, you've got to be in the right mood and mindset to step into this one, because if my description of the plot didn't already give it away, you know, you're confronted with war and with mental health, with PTSD, with grief, with masculinity. Yeah, there's a lot in there. But Sam is really wonderful in the role, as is the young actor who plays his son, Edward Carmody. And as you said, Matt Nable is the director. This is his directorial debut, and he does a phenomenal job. So hat off to him for his first go at directing, because it's a really great movie. So it's in select cinemas at the moment, but it will be on Stan tomorrow.
Yeah, and we'll be catching up with Matt Nable here on the show tomorrow. So we'll find out a bit more about the film itself and him directing it, because he's a ripper of an actor. He knows how to play footy too, and he's an author. He can do it all.
But he really can.
I think that's a good one to watch, Transfusion on Stan. The other one, The Last of Us on Binge, and Babylon, the movie which is on, starring Margot Robbie, maybe. Yeah, maybe give that a miss. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
I'd watch The Last of Us and Transfusion over Babylon.
There you go. Good on you, Ada. Always good to talk with you. Chat again next week.
Thank you.
Anna Corday with our Screen Talk segment, looking at what to watch on the big and small screen, and Music Not Far Away with Stevie. It's 1:22.